Good morning, everyone. Shall we just pray together? Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence and we bring you our praise and our worship. We bring you our thanksgiving. We bless you that your heart of love was revealed through our Lord Jesus. And we thank you that we have been touched by that love. And we thank you that we have been drawn to what you accomplished on the cross. And we praise you for forgiveness, for peace, for a purpose and a future that we find through our Lord Jesus today. So we thank you for the wonderful truth and the wonderful gift and good news of the gospel. And we pray that you will bless us together as we think of that and our response to it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to have a look at a couple of scriptures this morning. The first, and they're very familiar scriptures, but sometimes it's good to remind ourselves of the familiar. The first is Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always, to the very end of the age." And then we're going to look in Acts chapter 1, the first 8 verses. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all the things that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up into heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he'd chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." If you ask the question, why mission? Why send? Why go? Why give? I think that's been well answered already. The missionary is someone not who crosses the seas, but who sees the cross. God is a God of mission, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And he calls us to participate in the ongoing mission of Jesus to restore our broken world. So he calls us to live the gospel. And in my experience, whether it's in the inner city of Birmingham or the mountains of North Pakistan or in the second city of Thailand, or even back here in the UK. It's where you have opportunities to minister to the weakest and the least of these, the most vulnerable and the most needy, that there are real opportunities to demonstrate the gospel and what the gospel does and what the gospel brings to people. Where do we start? Where do we finish? Well, in the verses that we read, it says you start right where you are. Jesus said, you will be equipped for the job that God is going to call you to do, and it's going to start right where you are, and then it's going to go further out from there, and then it's going to go further out from there, right to the ends of the earth. And so we're going to think a little bit about that today. And as I was chatting with Matt ahead of this service and thinking how the best way to do a mission Sunday, I thought it'd be good to start right where you are and give an example of from Glebe Chapel up in Newent, which is the church that I go to. If you want to know where that is, it's west of Gloucester and not far from Ross-on-Wye. We found that lockdown was quite a tough time. But we got into a routine of doing online church, and what was even harder was sort of getting things started again, getting the church regathered. And I said to the leadership, let's wait until all the restrictions have been lifted. So we waited until all the restrictions were lifted, and then we started to come together, and then we found more restrictions coming back in. And it was quite hard. But when it came to mission and outreach, one of the things I said to others in the leadership team was, well, let's not just restart activities for the sake of it. Let's wait till people come to us as leaders of the church and say, I've got a real vision and a passion to do this. So this is a story about people who had a passion and came to us about starting a well-being cafe. Back in October last year, on Mental Health Sunday, we had a video message from Ruth Rice. She's actually led a seminar at Living the Passion, if you were at the last one of those. And so she has started a network. She started one of these well-being cafes. They say on that advertisement, it's a place where it's okay not to be okay. So it's to meet people who have mental health needs and who want somewhere safe to go. The advantages are that it's now nationwide, there is support, there is training, it's a proven model, and it's meeting a need of our time. So I went along just on Wednesday this week as they were setting up. There's Chris and Alan just setting up the activities table. There's Margaret and Jan and Kylie getting the crafts table ready. And Julia, who brings along her crocheting, and anybody else who wants to learn how to do crocheting can just sit on the city and do that with her. There's tea and coffee available, and there's Martin, who comes along and appreciates that place. And at 11:45 every day, every Wednesday, they have a time of prayer, and there's a prayer space that's available all through the time from 10 till 12:30. But people are invited to come into this prayer space, and a time of prayer is led. And that started small, started with just 5 or 6. Numbers have increased to about 17 or 18, but it's really meeting a need. And the social prescriber who works with the local health centre is starting to refer people to this place that's run in a church premises. It's called Glebe Chapel Hub, that's in the middle of Newent. It used to be the Good News Centre. So that was just an example of reaching out where we are and finding something that meets a need that is a Christian testimony and that can be a help to people. And I think that question, where to start, is not only geographical, but in people's thinking space. I think we often need to start a lot further back with people than we used to have to. So we used to be able to invite people to Alpha courses and things like that. We found that we need something pre-Alpha to invite people to. And we've run the Happiness Lab a few times that really starts at a very early stage of what's life about, what do you want from life, what's the secret of happiness, and starting to, with a question that a lot of people have, you can move it on further than that. So you start where you are, start in your own neighborhood, in the vicinity of your own local church, but then Jesus said it would go out from there to Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So starting just a little bit further out, but still in this geographical locality, this is Peter and Rachel B. Rachel is one of our mission partners and who lives and works in Easton, which is right here on the doorstep. Yep. And when we had a mission conference in Scotland, I wrote to Rachel and said, can you share with me a story that can illustrate your work? And this is what she sent me. We first met Mohammed from Iran a year ago when he was placed in hotel accommodation in our city. When we first met him, he wasn't well at all, very depressed and struggled to manage his mental health. He asked many questions of faith but couldn't grasp the good news of the gospel. He was suddenly moved to another city, and that was the final straw. He spiraled downwards and ended up in psychiatric care. Amazingly, over time, he's come through these experiences and come to know the Lord and was recently baptized. He came back to our church for the baptism, as due to the pandemic, we'd kept in touch with him with online Bible study over the 6 months he was away in another city. When he came into the church, I couldn't believe my eyes. It was like he was risen from spiritual death, a completely new person, shining with light where before there was fear and darkness. I was actually quite emotional to see such a powerful transformation. He's come back alive. God is good. So that's something just from in this neighborhood here. And I heard from Rachel recently that she's been asked to give training to Bristol families who have offered to take in Ukrainian refugees. She's been asked to give training about caring for people who are refugees, especially who've experienced trauma. There were 300 people she was being asked to train. Now there are 400, and it's coming up soon. And that's here in the city of Bristol. And just this week as well, we had a message from a church in Kyiv, the capital of Ukraine. And this is what this person who runs, to works for a Christian Union charity writes. Please pray for my church in Kyiv. They have so many new people coming. They don't have enough Christians to work with them and follow up with them. She quotes Matthew 9:35-38, in which there's this verse, he saw the crowds. This is Jesus. He had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. Thank you, Jesus, that you know all those in Kyiv who are harassed and helpless, she prays. Have compassion on them. You don't need us to minister to them, but you choose to use us, which is amazing. Send out workers for the harvest field in Kyiv. Strengthen church leaders and give them what they need to serve others. Pour your spirit on Kyiv. Breathe new life, and may the waves of repentance and salvation ripple out from there into Ukraine and further into Europe. Maybe even to Bristol, where some of these Ukrainians are coming and where they are going to be hosted. So, rippling out and opportunities that are here in this city. And looking further afield, at the beginning of April, I took a trip and visited mission partners first in Jordan and then in Lebanon. I thought I would share just a couple of things from Lebanon. Can you see what that's spelling? Lest. It's the kindergarten children, and we went up in a place called the Hippodrome, which is the old Roman ruins where the Romans used to have the chariot races all the way around, and the original sort of seating for the spectators was there, and we went up onto the top of those and took a photograph of the kindergarten children who the teachers very patiently made to spell that out. Anybody know what that stands for? It's Lebanon Evangelical School in Tyre. And this is Andrea Smith on the right-hand side, who works at that school as an educational psychologist. And on the left-hand side, that's one of her former pupils, who was one of the majority community, who until a few years ago would have been veiled. But when she came to faith in the Lord Jesus, she doesn't wear that anymore. And she works alongside Andrea. And that in itself is a real testimony to a community. And when I visited there, she'd made these little gifts for us, and this was one that she gave me, and we've got a pot of flowers on our dresser, sat on this little coaster. Let all that you do be done in love, from 1 Corinthians. Andrea has an opportunity in a school where more than 95% are from the majority Muslim Shiite community to hold Christian assemblies to different parts of the school. And she does that every morning. And she has got to know this family in particular. Now, this is Ismail's family. And an Israeli bomb hit that house about 15 years ago. And the mum in the family is a double amputee. And all the children had shrapnel injuries. And the eldest son was, the injuries were poorly treated by the surgeons, and Andrea supported him to have new surgery and to supported him all the way through his education. And he's now at university in Italy. And she supported this family. All the family, as I said, had shrapnel injuries. The eldest daughter there has a piece of shrapnel that's in a dangerous place embedded, but it would be more dangerous to remove it. So she just lives with this shrapnel in her body. It was very special to be there for the break of fast in the month of Ramadan. And this was the chip that broke the fast. And that is Abbas, who was there. And what was really special. Go back to that picture with the mum, was to hear this mum say about Andrea that she's more precious than a daughter. We've got a room in this house that's always hers whenever she would need it. She has been better than a daughter to me. And it's very special to think that she, over all those years of consistent care and love, has just made such an impact on that family. And we can pray for them. The father, Ismail's a soldier in the army, and he was away when this bomb hit his family home and brought all that devastation. And then the challenge to the ends of the earth. We were in a weekend up in Scotland, Wider Horizons weekend, at the beginning of February, and we had more than 50 young people who were all interested in mission. And there was a significant number of physios and occupational therapists there. And so we had quite a number of them just interested in opportunities. And it was really special for me because we've been intentionally promoting the needs of the unreached in our world today. And so it was been very special when these two volunteers came forward and went out on the 10th of May to serve in Kyrgyzstan, which is part of the least reached part of our planet. And they're there as physios with lots of opportunities to do physio work in the projects that are run by this group. And I'm really hoping that that experience might lead on to something that would be more longer term for either or for both of them. And just to finish things up with this being the 150th year for ECHOES International, and I was given the task of planning how we were going to celebrate the 150th year. And one of the thoughts that we had was to put together a book, a coffee table book, with 150 photographs telling 150 stories in about 150 words to describe 150 years. And so that's what we've done, and I brought along a box of these books, so if anybody hasn't got one, and if you'd like to have one, these are for sale at £15 each, and there's some at the back. I thought I would share just one of the stories from the book, and I won't go to ours, which Janet wrote. That comes the first story because we did it in alphabetical order, so we're Abbott, and so we come right at the front. I was always first at school until we had somebody with the name of Abbas came, and he pit me at the end of about 18 years, until I was 18, he pit me to the post at the number top of the register. So this is Stuart and Mercy Hine. And in the summer of 1934, as a 34-year-old serving in a remote part of Eastern Europe between the two world wars, he set out by bicycle to preach Bibles high up in the Carpathian Mountains. He was a World War I veteran, but he couldn't have imagined the impact of his 300-mile bike ride in the coming years, because it led to the hymn that we all love and which we sing, How Great Thou Art. An old Swedish hymn, O Stor Gud, O Great God, helped to inspire Stuart's classic English hymn. As he distributed Bibles in village after village, he found that with few exceptions, the people who lived high in the mountains knew nothing of God's gift of saving grace. He did discover one Bible in the home of a man called Dimitri. For 19 years, it had lain unread until the very year of Stuart's visit, when Dimitri's wife had learned to read, the very first person in their village to do so. And as she slowly spelled out the words of John's Gospel, eventually reaching the story of the crucifixion, men and women listened with rapt attention and dropped to their knees with tears of repentance. As you were saying, Andrew, it's about seeing the cross. And they saw the cross and were impacted by it. And just at that time, Stuart turned up on his bicycle. Isn't that remarkable? And he, as a result of that experience, wrote the third verse of this hymn. And when I think that God, his Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. And he goes on to say, when war broke out in Europe in 1939, Stuart and his family had to return to England. In 1948, Stuart and his wife Mercy ministered to some of the 100,000 refugees who poured into the United Kingdom from Eastern Europe and Russia. Times have just gone around a bit, haven't they, from what I was sharing just a little bit earlier. The grief and sorrow those refugees expressed at being separated from their loved ones inspired Stuart to begin writing the fourth verse of the hymn. Anyone know what the fourth verse is? I'll remind you. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then shall I bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. So that's one, and there are 149 others, stories like that, that are in this book, and I brought along a few for you today. Let's pray. Lord, we bow in your presence and we acknowledge how great thou art. And when I think that God, his Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. Lord, we bless you for the cross of our Lord Jesus, for the revelation of the depth, the height, and the extent of your love. And we praise you that you raised our Lord Jesus from the dead, and that he lives today, and that by his Spirit you equip your people to do your work. Help us, Lord, to do that work where we are, and to find as a church how you want us to serve and reach out, and what the opportunities for us individually, in our workplace, in the area where we live. We seek you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.